Welcome to Torah Tamecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Ruchama Welcher, and today we're going to be studying Mishlei Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter 11, and we're going to be focusing in depth on two different psukim, which we're going to connect at the end, and we're going to be starting with pasuk Beis. Ba zadayin v'yavay kalayin. When pride comes, then comes shame. Ve'es tzenuim chachma. But with the modest or the humble ones is wisdom. And Rashi translates this as together with the modest comes wisdom. Mitzudah explains that when an arrogant person arrives, so shame always accompanies him, because arrogant people put down other people. Generally, arrogance is a sign of insecurity, and arrogant people have this artificially inflated ego, and they have to keep inflating it further to mask their insecurity. And so part of that becomes that they're always putting other people down to make themselves feel better. It's a bit like a seesaw. If you go down, then I go up. So, when pride comes, then shame comes together with it. Because there are always people who end up feeling put down and embarrassed around arrogant people. But then at the opposite end of the spectrum is the modest or the humble person. And together with modest or humble people comes wisdom. The trademark of a humble person is that he wants to listen to other people's opinions more than he wants everyone to listen to his own opinion. And a direct outgrowth of always wanting to hear from others and learn from others is that there's chachma. When you listen to other people and you try to understand other perspectives and other experiences, you automatically become smarter. So together with the humble, the modest, comes wisdom. Now Rav Volbi, in his Sefer Aleishar, he has another take on this pasuk. And he says this pasuk is about the concept of building an internal world. He says the whole middah of tznius is about building an internal world, which means keeping some things private. And he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah on this pasuk, who says, what is at the core of the middah of tznius? It's hatznua eino rotzeh behiskalos libo. He doesn't want to, the modest person, he doesn't want to reveal everything that's in his heart. He keeps certain things private in his heart. He doesn't share everything about himself. A modest or a humble person, they don't share everything with the rest of the world in terms of their accomplishments, their innermost thoughts, their experiences, their epiphanies. They have an inner world, and that stays private. And this goes hand in hand together with Chachma, the Es Tzenuim Chachma, together with Tzenuim, together with people who have an internal world. There's Chachma, there's wisdom. Because as Rabbeinu Yonah says, Chachma is synonymous with Tznius. The nature of Chachamim is that Yishma'u v'yakshivu v'lo yisavu lihiskalos libam. They listen, and they prefer not to reveal everything that's in their hearts. They don't share their inner world if there's no specific positive reason to do so. That's the trademark of a chacham. And this is because having an internal private world is critical for chachma. It's critical for being able to make rational decisions about the right thing to do. Meaning, if we share everything with everyone all the time, and we live out our lives on a completely public stage, then decision-making really becomes an obsession with what everyone else is going to think about the decision. It's much harder to make a decision with chachma of what's really the right thing to do when one of the factors in the decision is public opinion. Because remember, we said chachma sometimes means making a decision that doesn't look right, but it's right for that context or it's right for that person. And you need to have courage to do that, and to have the courage to make a decision of chachma, it means you can't worry about how everyone else is going to respond. So we need to have this internal space so that we can make decisions because they're right, without being concerned about other people's opinions, without being concerned about what are people going to think of this and what are people going to say. We also say that Hashem is Yoshev B'Seiseh Elyon. He dwells in hiddenness. We say this in Tehillim. For example, Hashem doesn't generally operate with big open miracles. You have to seek Hashem out because he hides. The Medrash and Bereishis Rabba describes Hashem as Omen Mutzna. He's a modest or a tznius craftsman. So the spiritual world, the godly world, it's concealed. And if we want to access the truly spiritual, we have to develop a sensitivity to hiddenness, a sensitivity to tznius. So that means we need to be cautious and we need to be mindful of what we tell and of what we show. There's something deeply spiritual about keeping a chesed private, about keeping things that we take on private. That's the way we can also keep them more spiritual, by keeping them private. But then there's also a little bit of a paradox here, because Talmidei Chachamim and leaders, they also have a responsibility to share Torah. And they have a responsibility to inspire other people with their lifestyles and their Torah knowledge and their mitzvah observance. So how do we do both? If the possibility for spirituality and chachma relies on tznius and it relies on having an internal world, how do we navigate this at the same time as being positive role models? Because to be a role model and to teach Torah, it requires sharing, and it requires letting others into that internal world. It's a little bit of a tricky tightrope. So to resolve this, I heard this great story from Rabbi Hauer about the Altar of Kelm. Well, actually, it's not so much of a story as an anecdote. About the Altar of Kelm, he told his Talmidim that sometimes when you have a really good insight into your Torah learning, or a really profound moment of inspiration, he told his Talmidim, don't share it with anybody. Keep it totally private. Keep it to yourself. Don't share it with a single person. Now this is really strange because we have a responsibility of lilmoid, to learn, or lalamed, and to teach. We don't just keep things to ourselves. We reach out to others and we want to inspire others. And Kelm specifically was famous for its emphasis on Kiddush Hashem. It was famous for having a mission of elevating the status of the yeshiva bocha in people's eyes. It was super concerned about presenting a public image of Bnei Yeshiva being classy and elevated members of society. So for a yeshiva that's genuinely concerned about public image, it's a contradiction to tell people to keep their most elevated moments private. They should share them on Instagram. That would make a really big Kiddush Hashem. But that's the whole point. What the Altar of Kelm was trying to teach is that when we're so preoccupied with being a positive role model or a teacher or presenting a positive image to the world, one can worry that is there actually someone behind that image that you're presenting? Will the real you please stand up? Who are you actually behind the perfectly curated image that you're broadcasting to everybody? And that's what the Altar of Kelm was teaching here. If you want Chachma, if you want to access the spiritual world, you have to keep something hidden. There has to be a part of you that's only for you. And that's what gives you the possibility to make life choices that are aligned with your values, instead of always worrying about how your life choices are aligned with public opinion. That's the Estzenuyim Chachma. And I think, personally, that the Altar of Kelm would panic at our world that's dominated by social media. It's so scary how quick we are to share anything and everything, from the most inane thing, like a picture of the salad that I ate for lunch, to my most personal and my most private thoughts and experiences, and to share them with 5,000 people all at once. And of course, there are very positive things about social media, and for some people it's a real parnasa, but it's a very frightening thought if it gets to a point where one can't distinguish between who's the real you and who's the image that you present to the world. And this is an important educational message that we need to teach young people today. Keep something to yourself so that you have a self and you don't just have a public image. And now to move on to the second pasuk that we're going to be exploring in this parak, which is Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hoylech Rachel Megale Sod. He who gossips or a tale bearer reveals secrets. V'ne'man ruach mechaser dava. But on the other hand, he who is of faithful spirit, he conceals the matter. And the Malbim explains the pasuk like this. When you share a secret with someone, you're essentially entrusting them with something very valuable of yours. It's like you make a valuable deposit to someone else's inner self. And just as you'd never entrust something valuable with someone careless, like if someone has a reputation of losing things or of leaving things lying around, you'd never ask them to watch over your diamond necklace. It's not smart, he says, to trust someone who's careless with your secrets. So how do you know if someone can be trusted to keep your secret or not? How do you know if you're entrusting them with a trust, you're entrusting your secrets with a trustworthy person? Says this pasuk, Hoylech Rachel Megale Sod. If someone's always telling you everybody else's secrets, and he always knows who's getting divorced and who's moving house and who's in the middle of a major legal drama, then that's a pretty good sign that you shouldn't trust them with your own secrets. And this is something that we're all very aware of. We all know people like this. And if you're smart, then you avoid them like the plague when it comes to your secrets, because they're fundamentally untrustworthy and we don't rely on them for anything private or anything confidential. But then on the other hand, says the Malbim, V'ne'man ruach mechaser dava. The faithful person, he doesn't only not reveal your secrets, but mechaser dava, he conceals them. He proactively tries to cover up for you and to retain your privacy. And these are the kind of people we want to surround ourselves with. People who actively ensure that confidentiality is there, that your secrets are protected, that your vulnerabilities are not exposed. Now, not being a hoylech rachel, it's not just a good way to ensure that you have some friends, but it's also an explicit mitzvah in the Torah in Parashas Kedoshim. It says, Leiseilech Rachel ba'amecha, don't be a talebearer amongst your friends. Now, the literal meaning of Rachel, according to Rashi over there, is a peddler. It's someone who goes from house to house selling things, selling pencils, selling brooms. And that's very similar to the kind of person who spreads information. He goes from person to person. Did you hear who's moving house? Do you know this one's going to a Pesach program in the Maldives? Do you know so-and-so is pregnant? And what these two people have in common is that both the peddler and the talebearer, they move stuff around. The peddler moves goods. He buys from one person, he sells to another. And the talebearer or the rachel, he moves information. He reveals from one person what he hides from another person. They're both transporting things around town. Now, it's very important to clarify over here that being a Hoylich Rachel, it doesn't necessarily mean sharing negative information. It could be totally neutral information. It could maybe even be positive information, good news, like somebody's pregnant. But it's an ism in a Torah. And the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch explicitly says that even if it's true, and even if there's absolutely nothing negative or derogatory in what you're repeating, it's an ism in a Torah, it's forbidden from the Torah. And the Kitzur brings an example of a story in which someone just repeated totally innocuous information, and it had really, really devastating consequences. And the story is from Shmuel Aleph, when David was running away from Shaul HaMelech, who was trying to kill him. And he went to stay in the city of Noiv for a bit. Noiv was a city of Kohanim. It was just Kohanim who lived there. And during that time that he was staying in Noiv, Achimelech helped him. Achimelech had no idea that David was running away from Shaul. And he gave David some food and some weapons for his self-defense. Now, in the city at that time, there was a man called Doeg HaAdomi. And he went and he casually dropped to Shaul. He casually just told Shaul that while David was staying in the city of Noiv, Achimelech helped him out and he gave him some food and he gave him weapons. Now, naturally, Shaul was furious. And as a consequence, he ordered for the entire city of Noiv, the whole city of the Kohanim, to be killed. Now, please note, Doeg, he was not passing on anything confidential. If Shaul would have asked Achimelech himself, "Did you help David?" So he would have told, he would have given Shaul the information himself. He wasn't aware that Shaul didn't want him to help David. Doeg had not been told to keep this confidential. It was not a secret. But this very casual peddling of information, this very casual just repeating something that had happened, it had devastating consequences for the whole city of Kohanim. And it had devastating consequences for Doeg himself, because he ended up carrying the guilt of their blood for the rest of his life. And this all came just from repeating information. And we also learn this from the Gemara in Yavamos, where it says that every time Hashem speaks to Moshe, he always specifies if he should repeat something to Bnei Israel or not. It says, "Vayedaber Hashem elav me'oil ma'ed lemar," for example. Hashem spoke to him, lemar literally means to say. That's an indication this is something that you should repeat. If it doesn't say lemar, it means don't repeat it. And the Gemara says that we learn from here that when someone tells you something, you're not allowed to repeat it unless they explicitly tell you that you can. And again, this is even totally innocuous information. Unless someone explicitly tells you that you can repeat the fact that they just bought a house, or that their child is moving school, or that they're starting a new job, unless they tell you you can repeat that, it's forbidden to repeat it. So to summarize what we've learned in this parak, we study two psukim that actually share a very similar idea, but they're in completely different contexts, because they're both about oversharing. The first pasuk base was about oversharing in our personal lives, ve'es tzinuyim chachma, about keeping things private. And the second pasuk yud gimel, lo seilech rachel, was about not oversharing things from other people's lives. And the bottom line is that if we want to keep things precious and valuable and sacred, we have to keep some things private. Thank you for learning together in the merit for Refuah Shleima for Yonina Zimmer bas Daphna Hinder and the wounded members of Sahal among those who are ill amongst Klal Yisrael, sponsored by Nina and Chaim Schenker.